Fine Music Radio.
Book Choice. Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
It's Tuesday, and here we are again on Fine Music Radio with Book Choice. I feel like we were just chatting about books a minute ago, but that was 2 weeks ago. Can you believe it? Time is flying, so much so that we are in March already, the third month of the year, and we're back with another huge episode of Book Choice and our favorite Publisher's Choice edition, which means for the next hour, we're going to be joined in the studio by three of South Africa's top publishers, Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball Publishers, and publisher Pan Macmillan, and they're going to be joining us to tell us what they've got coming up on their lists and on their shelves and on their recommended to read lists for the next few months. So we've got an enormous jam-packed show full of fiction, non-fiction, publishing insights, and the very best book chatter you can find in South Africa. You can believe me, I might be a little bit biased, but I really do think this is the very best book show that we have. So first up, we're going to be joined by Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. Now, Viz Chetty joins us just about every 2 weeks to tell us about what he's been working on. As a publicist at Penguin Random House, Viz has a huge job. He's involved in everything behind the scenes that helps make a book, as well as everything behind the scenes that helps promote a book. And so we're talking everything from the back end of editing, paper selection, cover design, all the way to the front end, and that is getting the books in store, getting the launches of the books sorted. So Viz has a huge encyclopedic knowledge of publishing and the publishing world and the kind of books that we'd like to read. So normally for this show, I have a vague idea of what the publishers are going to be talking about. I have an idea of the books that they're going to be telling you about, but I decided that today I wanted to do something slightly different. So I'm going to be hearing about the books that Viz has to tell you about at the same time as you for the very first time. And then I'm going to let you know what I think of that list, if there are any that I've heard of, if there are any that I've read. So welcome to the show, Viz Chetty, and welcome to the show to you, our dear listener. Viz, what have you got coming up? Surprise and delight us.
Hello, FMR listeners, and thank you, Paige, for having me back this month. I am talking about the March 2025 releases. I've got a great selection of titles this month, and I hope you pick them up. They will be available in all good bookstores, both online and in store, whichever one you can get to. Right. The first title is by local author Penny Hall. The title is called Follow Me to Africa. And Follow Me to Africa is a real life story about Mary Leakey, who's one of the world's most distinguished paleoanthropologist. I can't believe I actually got that word out. And she didn't really have a formal education, but her passion, determination, curiosity, and sort of hard work has earned her numerous awards and degrees, doctorate degrees over the years. So Penny Ho has done quite a few really, really great titles with us. And this is her third book. She has a theme of very strong, very successful female characters, and this one is no different. So the story begins in 1983 when Grace arrives in Tanzania, where she feels sort of unwelcomed at first by the main character, Dr. Mary Leakey. When she arrives at this archaeological digs camp with her father from England, she's still sort of in a state of sorrow because her mother has just died. Mary herself has also lost her father at a young age. She found her strength in following her passion, basically, and poured all that energy into studying archaeology. Mary, knowing that Grace has lost her mother, recognizes the need for mentorship for Grace, who is lost in her sorrow and doesn't have any goals in her life. And they both come across a very interesting situation where a little cheetah in a bit of trouble walks into their camp, and they sort of create a bond when the both of them decide to care for this animal. So this book is written in dual timelines. The story goes back to 1930s London, and it reveals how Mary's father had a big influence on her and how she sort of set her heart on archaeology. It talks about how her passion led her toward the right people, assisting her in her growth and further leading her to meeting her husband and their common interest on finding evidence of early hominids in East Africa. Right. The narrative is thoughtfully imagined, with backstories beautifully building the dimensions of the characters. Mary's archaeological accomplishments make this biographical fiction very rich in historical background. If you haven't read Penny Hall before, you can pick up any of her books and you would just love it. She's an amazing writer. Right, the next one is by Katie Ford. The book is called From London with Love. Katie Ford has been writing books like this for many, many years. It's pure romantic escapism. Book is set in the final years of the swinging 60s, and it follows the lives of two young ladies, Felicity and Violet, both living in the same house in London. They have only just met, but soon become good friends and support each other in their romantic endeavors. There are plenty of tears as well as laughter as their romances progress, with a great cast of supporting characters. So, like I said, romantic escapism at its very best. Right, and the next one is by Anne Tyler. The book is called 3 Days in June. Anne Tyler always manages to turn ordinary, mundane into something interesting and extraordinary and imaginative, and she's no different in this book. This book, like the title suggests, is set over 3 days. The main character's name is Gail, and she has a crisis in her working life, but she's got a daughter called Debbie who's getting married. And so this book goes on the day before the wedding, day of the wedding, and the day after the wedding. So Gail is kind of an awkward person, and that's why she sort of feels she doesn't really have good people skills. And that's why she sort of faces an uncertain future after being passed over for a promotion at the school where she works. Not only that, but it's Debbie's wedding day in a few days, and then Gail's ex-husband Max turns up unannounced with a foster cat, which they both don't know where the cat came from. And there's also a shock regarding Debbie's fiance Kenneth the day before the wedding. So this book is humor and wisdom. You know, it's not a really quick plot, but it's a really good read. And I think anybody who knows Katie Ford would love this one. So nice escapism there. Right. The next one is a nonfiction book by Sophie Roberts. I decided I should throw in some nonfiction this month. This one is from the author of The Lost Pianos of Siberia, and it's about in 1979, when King Leopold II of Belgium launched a plan to plunder Africa's resources, and he felt the key to cracking the continent was its elephants, if he could train them. So what he did was he commissioned an Irish adventurer named Frederick Carter to ship 4 tame Asian elephants from India to East Africa, and then they marched these 4 elephants to inland towards the Congo. And the main aim of this was to establish a training school for African elephants. Following in the footsteps of the 4 elephants, Roberts pieces together the story of this often long-forgotten expedition in travels that take her to Belgium, Iraq, India, Tanzania, and the Congo. Storytelling brings to life a compelling cast of historic characters and modern voices, from ivory dealers to Catholic nuns, set against rich descriptions of the landscapes traveled. In an original weave of past and present, she digs deep into historic records, revealing an extraordinary and enduring story of colonial greed, hypocrisy, and folly. Right, the next one is by Catherine Airey. This book is called Confessions. It is debut novel. It's one of those novels that we've all picked up at PRH, and everybody who's read it in-house loves it. She is a great, great talent, and I hope that this book is read by many people, because I think this is one of those authors that will do big things in the years to come. So this book is set in dual timelines, and it encompasses the lives of different people, all connected. So it's 1974 in County Donegal in Ireland, and then in Burton Port in 2018. And then the third timeline is September of 2001, New York City, where the story starts. The main character, Cora Brady, is there. The poster she has made taped to columns and bridges, he's gone missing after the tragedy of 9/11. She gets a letter from an aunt who just says she should come to Ireland and sort of offers her a new life. And she goes. And this sort of becomes the beginning point of the story. But what happens is, as I said, you go back into 1974 and come forward into 2018, where you learn the lives of not only Cora's mother, but her aunt as well. All these lives connected, family, and it's about their story. So it's a fascinating book. You should pick this up. It is a debut, and I think this one is a good one to pick up. The next one is by local author Onke Mazibuko. He wrote a book called The Second Verse a couple of years ago. We loved it in-house. This book is called Canary. It's very different to Second Verse. It's a sort of a political thriller, and it's about a guy named Max who works for a company that trades in arms. But their government organization, think Danel, that sort of thing. And he works there, and he sort of spots a lot of corruption within the organization. He sort of sees this all around him and he gets frustrated and decides to become a whistleblower. And when he does that, as you know, a target is put on your back, and that's where the story goes. So it's a fast-paced, quick thriller. It's very real because, you know, we hear stories about this all the time in South Africa. And I think Onke has done a brilliant job of bringing this into a nice fiction title as Canary. That's available, as the others, in March. And then the last one is by Milton Shaw. The book is called Addict. It's a nonfiction title, and it's about his battle and overcoming of drug addiction, or many addictions, really, alcohol. Over the years, he was an addict for about 20 years, and he got clean, and this is what his life is now. So he's basically retelling his life from the start, how he got into addiction and how he fought his way out of it and where he is now in his life. It's a fascinating read. If you liked Melissa Ferguson Smacked, you probably would love this one. And folks, that's all I have for this month. I've got so many more coming. We're just warming up in the months to come. You know, as the year goes down, we have huge publications coming in. But PRH is happy to keep bringing them to you. So thank you very much.
No, thank you, Viz. What a fantastic list. I'm super excited about so many of these. I'm going to start with the Penny Hall because that's the one you started with. So I know Penny Hall quite well. She's an incredible South African journalist and writer. She's done something really remarkable. She brought out a children's book, and as I say, she was a journalist. And then she started bringing out these historical fiction novels. And they've been really big sellers, and people are really enjoying them. The first one that I think was her Invincible Miscast. I was going to say Incredible Miscast, but the book is incredible. The title is Invincible. The Invincible Miscast. And she takes these existing historical figures and builds their life out in a novel, into fiction. So this is about Eileen Cust, who it's based on the real life of Eileen Isabel Cust. And she defied her family and society to become Britain and Ireland's first woman veterinary surgeon. So this is what Penny Hall does. She finds a notable woman in history who's been overlooked or underconsidered, and she digs and delves deep into her life and brings us her story in a fictionalized sense. So this is based, she was born in Ireland in 1868 to an aristocratic English family, Miss Cust, Eileen Cust, and she knows from birth that she's destined to work with animals. Even if her family is completely appalled by the idea of a woman pursuing a veterinary career, how could she? Going against her parents' wishes, but with the encouragement of the guardian assigned to her upon her father's death, Eileen attends the new veterinary college in Edinburgh. She actually enrolls as A.I. Custance to spare her family the humiliation that they fear. So that's also a big literary trope, right? Women who have to hide their names and make them male names, J.K. Rowling for one, so that they can do something, go to university, become a veterinary scientist, sell more books. And so she goes on her way to becoming a veterinary surgeon, and that was Penny Hall's first book, The Invincible Miscast. The next, well, it wasn't her first because she had brought a children's book out before that, but it was her first historical fiction. The next historical fiction title that she brought out was The Woman at the Wheel. Again, a novel about a notable woman in history. This one is a very inspiring historical fiction narrative based on the real life of Bertha Benz, whose husband built the first prototype automobile, which eventually evolved into the Mercedes-Benz. So you can see what Penny Hall does here. And I hear that now Follow Me to Africa, which is her latest that Viz was talking about, is a fantastic continuation in this theme. It's about Grace Clark in 1983. She's 17. She's lost her mother when she begrudgingly accompanies her estranged father to an archaeological site in the Serengeti Plains of Tanzania. And here, 70-year-old Mary Leakey enlists Grace to sort and pack her 50 years of work and memories. So I think that gives you a really good idea of what Penny Hall is all about and what she does. I can personally highly recommend her. She's a fantastic novelist. These books have also been sold overseas, I think, and they've done really well. So congratulations, Penny, on Follow Me to Africa. We're all looking very much forward to it. Another title that Viz mentioned that I wanted to call out was the Anne Tyler. It's called What did you say it was called? 3 Days in June verse, you said it was called, and you, Ann Tyler. So Ann Tyler is very dear to my heart, and I'll tell you why. In the depths of COVID, when none of us could read, for some reason our focus was shot, our attention spans were shot, and I don't think I'd read a book for months. I think at least 6 months, probably longer. I'd picked up a few, but I just lost that desire to read, which for somebody who's so passionate about books, it was a horror. And I picked up an Ann Tyler book that had just come out. It was called Redhead by the Side of the Road, and it was a novella. And I picked it up and it got me reading again. I couldn't put it down. They call it here a perfect love story for imperfect people. I don't remember it being a love story. I'm not big on a love story. I just remember it being completely absorbing and it got me out of my rut. And I wasn't the only one who felt like that because it was longlisted for the Booker Prize in 2020. It was also named the Book of the Year by the Sunday Times in the UK, the Daily Express, the Times, the Daily Telegraph, Good Housekeeping, Metro, Spectator, and the New Statesman. So if you haven't heard of her before, Ann Tyler is very tried and tested. And as Viz mentioned, she has a new book out now. It's called 3 Days in June. I will definitely be reading that. I will read anything Ann Tyler writes. She is just an exceptional writer. Another title that stood out to me there was the Catherine Airey. It's called Confessions, and that's her debut novel, so that sounded interesting to me. And then another title that I wanted to call out that Viz mentioned is Canary by Onke Mazibuko. And what's so interesting to me about these books that come out in South Africa is how close they are to the lives that we're experiencing and the world we're experiencing in South Africa. And I think something very special about South African fiction, that they lean into what's going on in the world around us, sometimes very closely. And so this is a book about whistleblowers and what happens once you're a whistleblower and how you can't trust anyone. And I think we just have this happening in South Africa a lot. It's set in South Africa. It's a thriller. It looks high-paced. It looks compelling and it looks harrowing. And I think this will be a really good read. That's Canary by Onke Mazibuko. And so thank you, Viz, for that exceptional list. You did indeed surprise and delight. I loved it. We're going to play some music now before we move on to our next publisher. This is A Time for Us by Dimitrios Giannakis.
Thank you.
was A Time for Us by Dimitrios Giannakis, and you're tuned into Book Choice, our Publisher's Choice edition, here on Fine Music Radio, where we're joined every fourth Tuesday by three of South Africa's top publishers, Penguin Random House, Pan Macmillan, and the Jonathan Ball Publishing Team, as well as South Africa's favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books. And they come onto the show and they tell us what they've got coming up for March 2025, what titles they've got, what they suggest you read, and what they're excited about publishing. Next up, we're joined by the very fabulous Pan Macmillan team. We are joined by Shakti Pillay, who's a publicist at Pan Macmillan, and she's my publisher at Pan Macmillan, so I have a real soft spot for her. And we're also joined by Helene Kutsia, who is also part of the Pan Macmillan team, and they're going to come on board and tell us what they've got going on.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. It's Shakti here from Pan Macmillan. It's that time again where we talk about our favorite subject, books. But even more enticing, what is happening in the book world in the month of March? Well, let's march on into some of the leading titles published by Pan Macmillan this month, both on local and international shores. First up on our exciting list is a memoir by beloved author and widely recognized social commentator, Khaled Langa. You may know as the best friend of Trevor Noah and Anele Mdoda, as well as from his previous runaway bestsellers, To Quote Myself, and These Things Really Happened to Me. Life Is Like That Sometimes is not only a slogan that keeps us pushing forward, but it's also the title of Kaya's latest autobiographical collection. Life Is Like That Sometimes draws readers into the unforgettable personal experiences that have shaped Khaled Langa's world, weaving heartfelt and often hilarious tales from his rural Eastern Cape childhood to the profound losses he has faced as an adult. Kaya reflects on life's unpredictability with warmth and wit. The vivid stories explore love, loss, loyalty, forgiveness, tradition, chance, mischief, justice, responsibility, and resilience, offering insights on relationships, identity, and the lessons found in life's toughest moments. Both deeply moving and laugh-out-loud funny, Life Is Like That Sometimes is an exploration of personal growth, faith, and the power of storytelling to find meaning in it all. We wanted to share a snippet from Kaya's author note with you. Life Is Like That Sometimes is a journey through nostalgia, loss, the bitterness of life. It revisits my childhood in Duchini, a time filled with the vivid memories of growing up in rural Transkei. But as much as it captures those simpler days, this book also delves into the profound weight of loss, the ache that lingers when those we love are no longer here. Loss is universal, but it's never simple. No matter how much we know, it's an inevitable part of life. Nothing prepares us for the void it leaves or the tiny unexpected moments that catch us off guard and break our hearts all over again. Yet, amid this grief, life insists on moving forward, teaching us to find meaning in the pain and joy of the memories. For some readers, a chapter or two may feel familiar, echoing parts of my earlier books. Don't be alarmed nor dismayed. In those past works, certain stories were briefly mentioned in just a sentence or two, enough to spark curiosity, but not satisfy it. Over the years, readers have told me how much they wished I'd shared those stories in full. So here they are, expanded and given the space they deserve. The stories in this book, while deeply personal, are also reflections of the lives of millions of South Africans, their resilience, humor, heartbreak, and hope. The only difference is that I have been afforded the privilege of writing them down, of preserving moments that many others quietly live through without the chance to share them with the world. This is both a responsibility and gift I accept and hope to use with humility and grace. I hope this book reminds you that you are not alone in your joys or your sorrows. Life, as messy and unpredictable as it is, has a way of weaving beauty and meaning into even the hardest moments. And perhaps, as you read, you'll find a piece of your own story within these pages. If you've been scrolling through the Amazon and Audible charts, then our next author needs no introduction. Brianna West is what we like to coin the online generation's Brené Brown. With an online following amassing over 1 million followers, Brianna skyrocketed to international fame with her transformational book, The Mountain Is You, that was in high demand, followed by her other titles, 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think, When You're Ready, This Is How You Heal, and The Pivot Year becoming firm favorite. We're over the moon to be releasing Brianna's newest addition to her collection, called The Life That's Waiting. The Life That's Waiting acts as counsel and wrestles with the life where you are, not pushed by your fears, but moved by your vision. The life where the right things arrive and remain, and you do not have to contort your truth to make them so. The life where you are actually living, not just waiting to begin. The life that you actually want. The life that is gently asking you to let go and see it. Three releases that many of us in the office can't wait to get our hands on are Three Wild Dogs by Marka Zusak, The Strange Case of Jane Eau by Karen Thompson Walker, and Beautiful Ugly by Alice Feeney. From one of the world's greatest storytellers and author of The Book Thief, Marka Zusak, this is a tender, motley, and exquisitely written memoir about dogs, love, and nature. What happens when the Zusaks open their family home to three big, wild, pound-hardened dogs? Reuben, a wolf at your door with a hackshaw, Archer, blonde, beautiful, deadly, and the rancorously smiling Frosty, who walks like a rolling thunderstorm. The answer can only be chaos. There are street fights, park fights, public shamings, property trashing, bodily injuries, stomach pumping, purest comedy, shocking tragedy, and carnage that needs to be seen to be believed, not to mention the odd police visit at some ungodly hour of the morning. There is a reckoning of shortcomings and failure, a strengthening of will, but most important of all, an explosion of love and the joy and recognition of family. Three Wild Dogs and the Truth is the human need for both connection and disorder, but it's also a love letter to the animals who bring hilarity and beauty, but also the visceral truth of the natural world, straight to our doors and into our lives, and change us forever. The Strange Case of Jane Eau is the extraordinary new novel from the international best-selling author of The Age of Miracles. If the one thing you can trust is your memory, what happens when you forget? A young woman, Jane Eau, arrives in a psychiatrist's office. She's been suffering a series of worrying episodes, amnesia, premonitions, hallucinations, and an inexplicable sense of dread. But as the psychiatrist struggles to solve the mystery of what is happening in Jane's mind, she suddenly goes missing. When she is found a day later, unconscious in a park, she has no memory of what has happened to her. Are Jane's strange experiences related to the overwhelm of single motherhood or long-buried trauma from her past? Why is she having visions of a young man who died 20 years ago, who warns her of disaster ahead? Jane's symptoms will lead her psychiatrist to question everything he once thought he knew. Profound and beautifully written, The Strange Case of Jane Eau is a speculative mystery about memory, identity, and fate, a mesmerizing story about the bonds of love between a mother and child, a man and a woman, and the haunting, unexplained mysteries of the human mind. The million-copy best-selling queen of twists, Alice Feeney, returns with a gripping and deliciously dark thriller about marriage and revenge. Author Grady Green is having the worst best day of his life. Grady calls his wife as she is driving home to share some exciting news. He hears Abby slam on the brakes and get out of the car, then nothing. When he eventually finds her car by a cliff edge, the headlights are on, the driver door is open. Her phone is still there, but his wife has disappeared. A year later, Grady is still overcome with grief and desperate to know what happened to Abby. He can't sleep and he can't write, so he travels to a tiny Scottish island to try to get his life back on track. There, he sees the impossible, a woman who looks exactly like his missing wife. Wives think their husbands will change, but they don't. Husbands think their wives won't change, but they do. There's so much more to discuss and to read with an ever-growing to-be-read pile, so keep a firm eye on the Pan Macmillan social media pages for more updates about events, new releases, and what's trending. Until next time, happy reading from the Pan Macmillan team.
Thank you so much to Shakti and the Pan Macmillan team. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come over and tell us what you're reading and what you've got coming up and what you recommend. The Pan Macmillan team do a lot of stuff on social media. They're constantly reporting on the books that they're bringing out, both local and international. They have big book giveaways that are very exciting. They also share with you events that are happening in your city around you where authors are signing books or holding book launches. And they really are wonderful things to attend. You go, there's normally free wine, which is always a lovely touch. And it's about an hour to an hour and a half of your day where you can listen to somebody talking about their book or talking about their publishing journey. It's normally done in a Q&A format. Often it's done at your favorite bookstore. And and you can go along. All you have to do is RSVP. So what I'm saying, the long and short of what I'm saying, is that check out the Pan Macmillan team on social media. Just stick Pan Macmillan SA into wherever you are on socials, whether that's Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Threads or X. That list is just getting longer and longer. Just type in there Pan Macmillan South Africa and hook up with them and your life will be better for it. We're going to play another track now before we go on to our next publisher. This is Rondo. It's from Eine Kleine Nachtmusik. It's by Hester Beyers Martin and Melanie Hofmeyer Berger. Welcome back. That was Rondo from Eine Kleine Nachtmusik, and it's by Hester Beyers Martin and Melanie Hofmeyer Berger. And you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. If you've just joined us, you've come in smack bam in the middle of our show. If you missed the first half of this show, have no fear. We load this show as a podcast at fmr.co.za straight after the show, so you can go catch up on what you missed. Or maybe you heard a title and you didn't catch the name and you want to listen back and hear what it was, or the author or the publisher. So check out the podcast of this show so you can catch up with us. Anyway, we're back and we've got another publisher lined up. We've got Jonathan Ball Publishers lined up. As with Viz Chetty, I normally know what the publishers are going to be talking about, but this week I thought I'd try something different. So I'm going to be as surprised as you are, and I'm excited to hear what Jonathan Ball Publishers team are bringing out this March. Over to you guys.
Good day, FMR listeners. My name is Anit Willifier and I'm the Publishing Director at Jonathan Ball Publishers. Firstly, we'd like to thank you for supporting our South African authors and their books, which are published in so many different formats these days. Some of you may not be aware that several of our titles are also available as audiobooks, including Pieter de Tooy's The Super Cadres, Ted Boota's Daisy de Malker, and even Denise Reitz's Commando. You can find our audiobooks on platforms such as Audible. But now, over to my team, who'll tell you more about our exciting new titles.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sibongile Machika, and on my list, we start things off with The Dating Playbook by Dudu Nhlabathi Madonsela. To start the month of love, we have a book that will help readers sort of navigate the dating landscape and find their way through the extreme sport that is mujolo. Dudu is no stranger to teaching people how to find love and find the kind of relationship that they're looking for in that time and in that phase of their lives. Whether you're looking to have fun, whether you're looking to find your life partner, or are recovering from a serious relationship, this is the perfect book to help you figure out where you're at and what you want to achieve with your dating life. Dudu's book is coming out on the 14th of February, and we will be launching it with a dating masterclass on the 24th of February at Rosebank Exclusive Books. Over to my colleague, Jeremy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeremy Borain. I'm a publisher at Jonathan Ball. I'm going to be talking to you about two books. The first is White Supremacy, A Brief History of Hatred by Gavin Evans. Picked by News24 as their March Book of the Month, this is very much a subject of the moment. Yet as Gavin Evans sets out, white supremacy has a history that dates back 200 years. It begins in the present day, though. An 18-year-old white boy shoots dead 10 black people in upstate New York. He leaves a manifesto that claims there is a plot to replace all whites. White supremacy is on the rise today, often finding expression in acts of violence by young white men. Evans explores the history of this ideology, tracing it back to the 18th century to Charles Darwin and Francis Galton, who developed theories of racial superiority. This gave rise to eugenics, and from there, Nazism and, of course, apartheid followed. Evans looks at white supremacy's current manifestation, explaining the evolution of what's known as great replacement ideas. He reveals how this ideology often spreads to mainstream thinking, becoming normal in the eyes of many. White Supremacy by Evans is a short, sharp book that everyone should read, and the author will be touring South Africa in March. My next book is Sir Herbert Baker, A Biography by John Stewart. So, name a famous architect in South Africa, and chances are you'll say Sir Herbert Baker. Baker left an indelible mark on South Africa and much of the British Empire in the first half of the 20th century. This is the first full biography from his childhood till his death, and was written with a full cooperation from his family and with access to his archives and private papers. Baker was no doubt the most prolific architect of his age in South Africa, where he designed numerous public buildings, churches, schools, and private houses, including the Union Buildings, St. George's Cathedral, and Fortescue. He went on to work in India, Kenya, and England, where, amongst many other projects, he designed South Africa House on Trafalgar Square. It's lavishly illustrated, and it's a biography which offers a compelling portrait of an architect whose buildings contribute greatly to our heritage. John will be in South Africa in March to promote his book. I'm now going to hand over to my colleague, Jill.
I have two books coming out in March, same as Jeremy, and the first is a novel by Justin Fox called Hell Run to Brook. This is the third in his series. Each are actually standalone, though. If you want to pick this one up, you would certainly be able to understand what's going on. In it, the main character, Jack Pembroke, who is a British naval officer based in Simonstown, gets sent off to Alexandria in wartime Egypt. At this point that Rommel is rampaging across North Africa and the South African infantry is holed up in Tobruk. So Jack's mission with his fine men is to have to sail off to Tobruk and escort supply ships. There's plenty of excitement. There's lots of German fighter planes menacing Jack and his men and the German and the Italian navies. But it's not all guns and battle. There's also plenty of beautiful Alexandria in this book, and Jack falls under the spell of a Spanish beauty who may or may not be a spy. Who's to know? Hopefully Justin will let us know in the fourth book, which he is writing at the moment, and that will move the scene to Malta. My next book is a non-fiction, It's called Fading Footprints by the Spanish folklorist José Manuel de Prada Samper, and that is Prada as in the fashion house. José lives in Barcelona, but he is in and out of Cape Town a lot and comes to South Africa every year, and he's actually a fellow at the UCT School of Archaeology. This book is part historical detective story, part memoir, and part travel. In it, José traces his 30-year journey in seeking out folklore of the San, South Africa's first people. It follows all his travels through the Northern Cape to very, very far-flung areas and recording mostly farm workers and other descendants of the San. And he matches that up against what's in the historical archive, which is mostly in UCT. This is a really lovely book. It's fascinating. It's charmingly written. And there's also a positive message. And that's contrary to common belief, San culture and traditions are still alive. That book's title again is Fading Footprints by José de Prada Samper. And now it's over to my colleague, Annie.
The next book on our list is Khaki Fever, an immensely entertaining romance novel by Cape Town-based editor and writer Lindsay Norman. If you're not familiar with the term khaki fever, do Google it. It has a fascinating history. Game guide Alexandra Carnell Ellis is principled, doesn't suffer fools, and is generally not too fond of ordinary people either. When she's fired from the plains, a commercial Ferrari safari type game reserve in the Karoo for being rude to guests, she's determined to make a fresh start. She lands a dream job at an exclusive game reserve in Mpumalanga. But Alex arrives at the lodge with attitude, a few facts about her that aren't strictly true, and a stolen dog in tow. Alex struggles to control her unruly tongue and almost immediately makes enemies with a camp manager and the owner's terrifyingly scary girlfriend. She finds love in the form of the level-headed and attractive head guide, but it's not long before everything goes wrong. That then, Khaki Fever by Lindsay Norman. In June, we are publishing an incredibly well-researched and beautifully written art biography by Michael Stevenson, one of the most prominent figures in the local art world. Michael is not only the founder of the respected Stevenson Gallery, but also an art historian. This biography is of the British artist Samuel Daniel, who Michael describes as one of the most accomplished, yet least known artist from the era of British exploration in South Africa. He traveled around Southern Africa between 1800 and 1803. Daniel's vivid sketches, drawings, and watercolors are individuated and accomplished artworks. This young artist's representations of people of color are remarkable for their perceptiveness and are perhaps unmatched in their sensitivity in the colonial era, Michael writes. You really needn't be an art expert to be touched by the beauty of his portraits. Daniel's drawings are widely scattered and mostly unpublished, but this biography reconstructs his life and travels by bringing together his known works from collections around the world. Thank you to FMR for this opportunity to tell you more about our wonderful books for the first half of this year. You can also catch a number of our authors at the Time of the Writer Festival in KwaZulu-Natal and Books on the Bay here in Cape Town in March. Gavin Evans, Justin Fox, and John Stewart will be in Simonstown from 14 to 16 March. Thank you for listening.
What a delicious selection of books. Can you even believe it? Each one so exciting, each one offering up the opportunity that maybe this is the book that you're going to love the most this year. Maybe you're going to delve into it and never want to put it down. There are a few that I want to chat about. First of all, audiobooks. I can't live without them. Annie Oliver, thank you for talking about audiobooks. I'm constantly wondering when South African publishing is going to be making more audiobooks, so I feel it happening around me. I can't live without them. They've absolutely changed my reading and listening life. I listen while I'm driving. I listen while I'm running. If I could listen while I was swimming, I would. Actually, you can listen while you're swimming. They do make a waterproof audio device. But like I said, I'm a huge convert to audiobooks. I love them, so I will be checking out these local titles. I would love to listen to local titles delivered in local voices. Would be a real joy to read. Imagine you're reading a book set in South Africa from a South African reader. The Dating Playbook sounds really fun. I love what she said, that dating is an extreme sport. It sure is. And a bit sad that I missed that dating masterclass. I think that would have been fun, but also really useful. The title that Jeremy Buran talked about, the new Sir Herbert Baker memoir, is so interesting. In fact, we were so excited by this title that we have Philip Todras interviewing the author when he comes to South Africa in March, and that will be in our next show. So tune into our very next book choice in 2 weeks' time on Tuesday, same time, same place in 2 weeks' time, to listen to Philip Todras interviewing the author of the new Sir Herbert Baker book. What else did I want to call out? The Jack Pembroke by Justin Fox. This whole series has taken off in a massive way. It's been a giant international bestseller set right here in Simonstown and in South Africa with Jack Pembroke. Wonderful to see a South African author being recognized and selling out and having to go to reprint a number of times. And so now Hell Run to Brook is, I think, the third one, I might be wrong. And as they mentioned, he's busy writing a fourth one. So I think this is a series that's just going to gain speed as it goes, get bigger and bigger and more popular, and long may that last. It really should. And then Lindsay Norman, wonderful editor Lindsay Norman, we know well. She is a very talented writer and editor, and she has her new debut fiction title coming out, Khaki Fever. It sounds like a wonderful read that you want to curl up on the couch with a cup of tea or a glass of wine. It sounds like it's got all the ingredients for a really lovely read. Congratulations, Lindsay Norman, on your launch. And that's one good reason, well, one of the many good reasons, to follow the Jonathan Ball Publishing team on social media, because you might find that Lindsay Norman is out there talking about her new book, Khaki Fever. Maybe she's got a launch coming up that you could attend. Equally so with Justin Fox, with his Jack Pembroke, Hell Run to Brook. You might see where he's having events and go and follow him. And if the author of this Sir Herbert Baker book is coming to South Africa, I'm pretty sure there'll be events too. I'm very glad that the Jonathan Ball team mentioned the Books on the Bay Book Festival, because I'm going to be talking about that right at the end of the show. But first up, we've got another track. We're going to listen to Everything's Coming Up Roses by Julie Harris.
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Decks, clear the tracks. You've got nothing to do but relax. Blow a kiss, take a bow. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Now's your inning. Stand the world on its ear. Set it spinning. That'll be just the beginning. Well, you'll be great. I can tell. Just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is you. Honey, everything's coming up roses for me and for you. You can do it. All you need is a hand. Can do it. Mama is gonna see to it. Curtain up, light the lights. We got nothing to hit but the heights. I can tell, wait and see. There's the bell, follow me. And nothing's gonna stop us till we're through. Santa Claus, everything's gonna be bright lights and lollipops. Everything's coming up roses for me and for you.
Welcome back. That was Everything's Coming Up Roses by Julie Harris here on Book Choice Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. As I said, I want to also talk about the Books on the Bay Festival, which is taking place on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of March in Simonstown. I did mention the Justin Fox novel that's come out, Hell Run to Brook, and that's about Jack Pembroke, and that's set in Simonstown. And Simonstown really does have a whole lot of literary value. Lots of South African books set there, lots of literary things going on there. Not just nuisance, but books too. So the runaway success of this festival in Simonstown, they've held this festival twice, but it's inspired this festival and the lineup just gets bigger and bigger and better and better. Simonstown is set to host some of South Africa's most celebrated writers. There are going to be 24 diverse events. They're going to range from readings and panel discussions. They've even got a poetry soiree. And they've invited more than 30 South African and international writers to this festival. And some of them are winners of major literary prizes in South Africa. They say that among the highlights at this festival are Africa's most acclaimed and trusted political cartoonists. Not only our own Zapiro, but also East African Gado. And both of them have managed to earn the ire of their own governments, which I think is what a political cartoonist has to do. They also have John van der Rijt, who's bringing the last and final in the Spud series to the festival. Spud now 28 and reflecting on his spectacular non-achievement. They have a number of historical non-fiction book discussions about slavery in Simonstown, and that should be fascinating. Two doyens of the literary world, Charlotte Bauer and Michelle Magwood, are going to be hosting a panel on aging, inspired by Charlotte's hilarious book, which is called How to Get Over Being Young. That's a great read. So I think that'll be a fantastic panel with Michelle Magwood and Charlotte Bauer. So as you can see, they have a ton of fantastic events, whether your poison is fiction or nonfiction, whether you like a bit of comedy, whether you like it super serious, whether you like really, really famous, well-known authors like John van der Rijt or relative newcomers. And I see here also that John Stewart, the architectural historian who wrote the biography of Herbert Baker that we've been talking about quite a lot, he's going to be there. Jonathan Janssen, renowned educationalist and contrarian, he's going to be there. I think his new book is called Breaking Bread. So it just goes on and on and on. Andrew Brown's going to be there. He was the winner of the 2024 Sunday Times Fiction Award. And his book is called The Taste of Bitter Olives, which has had rave reviews. I've heard it's absolutely fantastic. So I highly recommend this festival if you're in the area of Simonstown. It's going to be another triumph. I'm sure of it. You don't want to miss it. They have lots of restaurants and coffee shops out there, so you can move from festival panel to a coffee shop. And they're saying here that last year they had these local tuk-tuk services that move people around the village so you don't have to walk or use a car, and they're going to do that again. So these tuk-tuks will carry festival goers between locations free of charge. How fantastic is that? Books on the Bay is sponsored by Jonathan Ball Publishers, the University of the Western Cape, the Simonstown Civic Association, Simonstown.com, and Mooi Plaas Wine Estate and Private Nature Reserve. Oh, that's good. That means there'll be lots of free wine. For more information, you can go to booksonthebay.co.za. That's booksonthebay.co.za. You can buy tickets and go to the festival. And that brings us to the very end of this Book Choice, Publisher's Choice. I need to thank Viz Chesi from Penguin Random House, the whole Pan Macmillan team, the whole Jonathan Ball Publishing team, of course, the Exclusive Books team who sponsor this show. I also want to thank Mzuma Keta, who has gifted us all this wonderful music that we've been listening to. He selects the tracks for us and he does a mighty good job. He adds some very fine music to our very fine books. And I want to thank the Fine Music Radio team for having us on the station and letting us come over here and rabbit on about books for a whole hour. It's a dream. And with that, we're going to play out with Any Dream Will Do, speaking of dreams. And this is by Rocco De Villiers. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, happy reading.